Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wednesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you've made it to the midpoint of your week so far, so good. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you're having to follow along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you will find previous show links, news updates, and reports as to what we're working on. And also we're trying to turn it into a forum. We will be having poll topics and questions rolling out very shortly. You guys can answer them, talk amongst yourselves. We'll jump in every once in a while, and that will help us to develop a better show. Okay, so it's Wednesday. It's the middle of February. Well, not quite the middle of February, but close enough. And normally on Wednesdays around here, when the schedule permits it, we preview the weekly episode of TV1's hit music docuseries, Unsung. And after a pretty decent season with Go-Go, Escape, Kashif, quite a few others, the winter session has rolled around, and tonight it will start with rap's first supergroup, the Sugar Hill Gang. And tonight will be their turn in the spotlight after, you know, TV1's done a really good job with the hip-hop unsungs, you know, DJ Quick, Ghetto Boys, Bone Thugs and Harmony, EPMD, Big Daddy Kane, Cool Mo D, Fat Boys, on and on and on. And for these guys to get their turn, you know, on the unsung stage, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how, you know, they talk about, you know, a lot of the backlash that, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang got in terms of, you know, hip-hop and being real hip-hop and whatnot, because that, you know, that conundrum along with writing your own rhymes, which we'll get to in a second, is probably as old as the game itself. But just a real quick, you know, backstory on the Sugar Hill Gang. Sugar Hill Gang, they weren't from New York. They were from Englewood, New Jersey, which is like a little ways outside of New York. Wonder Mike, Big Bang Hank, and Mask G. And they were put together by the late Sylvia Robinson, who was really the first black woman multimedia mogul, and, you know, started a record label called Sugar Hill Records, and she put these three guys together and had them rapping and called them the Sugar Hill Gang. And their first single out the box, Rapper's Delight, scaled up the charts in the fall of 1979. It was hip-hop's first top 40, and it made the R&B top 5. And after that, they had Eighth Wonder, Apache, and they pretty much kind of fell off the map after Apache. But the importance of Rapper's Delight can't be, you know, understated, because it showed that hip-hop and rap in general could have a mainstream appeal. It doesn't hurt that you sample, you know, the backing track from Sheik's Good Times. And that's why, you know, Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards deserve, you know, a ton of credit for being, like, musical geniuses, because they, without even really, you know, paying attention to it, you know, kind of sort of gave hip-hop a rap, a base to go off of, you know. And that's, you know, and you can hear, I don't want to say it's pretty much the same song, but it's definitely the same beat. It's definitely the same beat. You can hear Niles' guitar, you definitely can hear Bernard's bass. I mean, the bass is just, you know, Bernard Edwards through and through. But among the hip-hop community, actually, in the early 80s, the Sugar Hill Gang were kind of thought of as posers, actually. They weren't really thought of as, like, you know, real hip-hop, as opposed to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Curtis Blow, you know, Treacherous Three and Spoonie G. In fact, many people say Spoonie G, Rap was really the first hip-hop single to be played on the radio, but Sugar Hill Gang's just scaled a little higher. A lot higher, in fact. But that's something that they'll have to address in this episode. You know, I would hope they would, because it's really not a rosy story. It's not like, you know, these guys just came out of nowhere and, you know, rose from obscurity to be the biggest hip-hop group of the early 80s at one point. They were handpicked and chosen. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But once again, this goes back to, you know, the thing, you know, with, you know, who's real hip-hop, you know, who's really true to the genre, who's true to the, you know, the lifestyle, is something that has been going on since the very beginning. And it started with the very first rap group anyone ever heard on the radio, was the Sugar Hill Gang. Because while everybody else enjoyed Rapper's Delight, a lot of people in the hip-hop community were like, these are the guys that represent us? Some of that, you know, is kind of unfair, because when you think about it, you know, Sugar Hill Gang had a machine behind them. They were created by a machine. Sylvia Robinson was a genius. No one will ever mistake her for being, you know, a woman that didn't know what she was doing, you know, in terms of marketing and music and all of that other stuff. Like, she had a long and lengthy career as a musician before she became a music executive. So she knew what was going to sell. She knew what was going to get out there. And she made it happen. She just made it happen with these three guys. But I hope TV1 addresses that. And maybe, just maybe, they'll address the Grandmaster Caz notebook theft. Because it's one of hip-hop's dirtiest, not-so-secret secrets, that every rhyme that ever came out of Big Bang Hank, God rest his soul's mouth, came from the rhyme book of Grandmaster Caz. Now, some people say he sold it to Hank. Other people say it was stolen and given to Hank. Some people say Hank stole it himself. We'll never know the whole truth. I don't think we'll ever know the whole truth about, you know, Caz and the notebook and how, you know, Hank, you know, used every rhyme that was in that bad boy. I don't think we'll ever know the complete truth, but I hope it's at least covered. And it's unfortunate because Hank died a couple of years ago, so he really can't defend himself in that regard. But, in fact, it's only been about a year since he passed on. That was kind of, that was recent. Hey, and he died November 11, 2014. And that was really, really, that was really recent. But that's something I would hope they would cover, but I don't see it happening, you know, under the, you know, one of the deeper issues of the doc, because really people don't know what happened to the Sugar Hill Gang, you know, pretty much after Apache and Eighth Wonder, because those were two of the biggest party records of the early 80s. In fact, their first three singles were the three biggest party records of the 1980s, easily. Easily the three biggest party records of the 1980s, to early 80s to start off. Like, Rapper's Delight, you know, is the classic, but the lesser, I mean, and Apache, of course, was made famous by, you know, Will Smith and Alfonso Ribeiro on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's just, you know, that's something they do, you know, in a comedic context, and all of a sudden, the song gets a new life. And that's pretty impressive in itself, because Apache had been an afterthought for close to 15 years until Will the Thrill and Boogaloo Shrimp took it on in an episode of Fresh Prince where they were exotic dancers trying to get some money for the family or get themselves out of trouble. I can't remember, you know, which. But that, you know, that gave Apache a new life, and it kind of gave the Sugar Hill Gang a new life. And Eighth Wonder in itself is probably a song that nobody really, I mean, everybody knows it, but people tend to forget how hard that song really goes. So yeah, that's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You know, I'll be watching. We can watch together, you know, learn a little bit about hip-hop and different things, because we can talk about it, you know, all day long, but until the episode airs, because we don't have the preview capabilities that some other folks in the media industry have. One day, maybe. One day. One day. But in the meantime, we'll probably just, you know, keep previewing these things and, you know, just talk about what we know about the artists and what we hope TV1 covers. And then, you know, on Thursday, we will recap. We will recap, you know, what we watched last night. And go from there. Let me see. In fact, there's I'm trying to pull it up now, so we know who's coming next week. I hope it's the one that, you know, I've been seeing. Matter of fact, I should have done this before the show started, but I figured I would have time to do it and still talk to you guys, but I kind of sort of ran out of, you know, Sugar Hill stuff, because, again, not really much is known about them other than, you know, the basics, you know, Rapper's Delight, you know, first hip-hop group on the radio, so on and so forth. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, when they talk about, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang in general. Oh yeah, Patrice Rushen is next week. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. That's the one I'll probably have a little more to say about. You know, she's one of my favorite artists, and you know, one of my earliest crushes as a kid, so definitely looking forward to that one next week. And, you know, her story, while not heavy on the controversy, is heavy on the, you know, talent and skill. So I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing you know, her unsung, and I'm definitely looking forward to the Sugar Hill Gang unsung tonight because I could stand to learn a little bit more about their origins of hip-hop, even though, you know, still haven't seen, you know, the whole Africa Bambaataa thing, Zulu Nation and all of that. That's something TV One I think should cover next. But, yeah, tonight, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sugar Hill Gang, TV One. I don't know what TV One is in y'all area. Like, I know people listen to this show from different areas of the country. I know it's 173 on Xfinity here in the Philadelphia area. It might be different somewhere else. Like I can't, you know, predict, you know, whose area has what number channels or whatever, who, you know, but we'll be watching together. You know, if you need to follow along on Twitter, you can use the unsung hashtag or find me on Twitter at CJ Starchild. And please don't be, you know, alarmed by my tweeting style if you choose to follow me on Twitter, because I choose to tweet about a little bit of everything in random manners. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Well, we still got a few minutes left. We got about 10 minutes left, actually. But so, yeah, the O.J. Simpson, the People versus O.J. Simpson, has anybody watched that yet? I hope you have. If not, you have two episodes to catch up on. I'm sure they're on demand, or they might be, you know, you might have DVR'd them. But this is an interesting look back at the whole O.J. shenanigan, and it comes ahead of ESPN's, you know, factual 30 for 30 about the O.J. murders, the trials, and different things. But FX has put together a very interesting ensemble cast. For one, they have Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson. Like, I don't know who else could have played O.J. Maybe Denzel Washington, but that was a little too lowbrow for him, I would think. I don't know who else could have played O.J. But Cuba Gooding Jr. right now, you know, for all of his, you know, bringing a little bit of radio to everything, as, you know, people say, doing a pretty good job, in my opinion, is O.J. One of the surprises is Malcolm Jamal Warner as Al Cowlings, A.C. Like, the Bronco Chase really wasn't supposed to be funny because O.J. had a gun to his head, but the way Malcolm Jamal Warner is just, like, you know, yelling and screaming and shouting like an old black man does, it's absolutely one of the funniest things about the first two episodes, because the second episode that aired last night was all about the Bronco Chase. The first episode was pretty much, you know, the discovering of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman's bodies, you know, the going through the evidence and charging O.J. And then, of course, the first episode leaves off with O.J. and A.C. Disappearing from Robert Kardashian Sr.'s house. Then, of course, week two last night picks up with the actual Bronco Chase. And then, of course, at the end, he's arrested. Sorry if this is a spoiler, but it's not a complete spoiler. But I will say this. This is something I've been wanting to get off my chest for almost 22 years. NBC. Y'all did this. This is y'all fault. Y'all cut into the NBA Finals for a slow freaking Bronco Chase of a washed-up Heisman Trophy candidate charged with murder, and a lot of us NBA fans are still very upset about that. Knicks fans more so than anybody else, because they probably had the curse of O.J. working against them, because they were going to beat the – I don't know if they were going to beat the Rockets in that series, but they had a really good chance. They had a really good chance. You know, especially going up 3-2, heading back to Houston. But then, of course, you know, just quick sports stuff. Olajuwon, you know, blocked Starks' shot at the end of Game 6. And, of course, John Starks can't hit a damn thing at the end of Game 7. But we don't remember much about that 94 final other than it was Hakeem Olajuwon's first championship, because we were, you know, forced to watch O.J. and the Bronco Chase. That wasn't very fun for a lot of us. But it ended up being, you know, something that, you know, just one of those pop culture things you'll always remember. Like, where were you when when the Bronco chase came up? I was watching TV in the living room with my parents, with my mom trying to figure out, why the hell is this cutting into my basketball? You know, why is this cutting? I'm 12 years old. I really don't see I didn't see the theater back then. I didn't see the appeal of watching a guy being, you know, escorted down the freeway by police until, you know, you understand years later that, you know, theater and drama, you know, help make great television. But as a 12-year-old, I'm pissed off that it cut into the basketball. And the ESPN 30 for 30 on this, you know, is pretty brilliant in itself. But the dramatics of the chase, even though because it's a miniseries, it's a made-for-TV thing. You know, the details are kind of skewered or even embellished a little bit, but still pretty good television. I don't know how long the OJ thing is. I don't know how many episodes it's supposed to be. I guess it's about 6, 7, maybe 8 episodes. It's a miniseries, but, you know, it's definitely TV worth watching. Like, I made sure, you know, I was freelancing last night. I got the game. I mean, the game ended in a short time. I picked up some food, came back to the crib, and turned on the TV and started writing while I was watching the while I was watching OJ, and I had to remember I had to get done by 10:30, so I was typing and watching, and that's good TV. The OJ thing was definitely good TV, and I really hope, you know, that the ESPN 30 for 30 miniseries is just as good. Probably going to be better because they're going to deal in the facts, and they'll have the actual people. Oh, yeah, one more thing before I sign off the air. Can we just go ahead and give Courtney B. Vance the Emmy right now for playing Johnny Cochran? Like, why even waste time? We don't need to have a ceremony. We don't need to have a vote. We just need to go ahead, grab one of them damn statues, and give it to Courtney B. Vance and say, here, man, you won. You own this bad boy. You did that. Like, he is the star of the documentary so far. I mean, the star of the miniseries so far. Courtney B. Vance is playing the hell out of Johnny Cochran. And it's only going to get better from here because we haven't even got to the point where Johnny Cochran takes over as OJ's, you know, saving grace and lead attorney in the trial. So it's only going to get better from here. Like, if these first two episodes are any indication, Courtney B. Vance is really about to be, like, you know, award down. Like, he's about to be dripping with gold statues of some kind. Golden Globes, NAACP Image Awards, Emmys. I don't know if you get Oscars for a television show, but might as well give him one of those, too. Now, that's pretty much, you know, my take from the first 2 weeks of The People versus O.J. Simpson. You can find it on FX. It comes on every Tuesday, 10 o'clock Eastern time. So, you know, feel like watching something crazy before you go to bed? There you go. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything today. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air. iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Y'all enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Until we talk tomorrow, y'all be good or be good at it.
that's me, a veteran known as the Master G. A fucking squad, I sense the danger when it's done about the rapping ranger. Had a little talk with a messy man. He said, get them squads fast as you can. To all you girls that wanna join my tribe, just move to the rhythm and feel my vibe. Put up a fuss in the air, you'll agree. But when you come inside my TV, as I've said before, you can sense the danger when you're stung by the rapping ranger. With silver and I take a ride, all you kids better step aside. I see the squad, then run away. Ho! Silver is what I'll say. Ho!
Started to